All right, let's take our Bibles and let's turn to Joshua in the Old Testament. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua is one of my favorite characters in the Bible because he was a man of courage and he didn't mess around. And so I really appreciate Joshua. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 6. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have today to share your truth, and we pray that the Holy Spirit will be our teacher. I submit myself to you now. Pray that my mind, my heart will be yours. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. All right. Now, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible says, be strong and of a good what, folks? Courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very what? Courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good what? Courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. So I want to talk to you this morning in Sunday school about the courage to change. You know, there are people that think that their lives are so messed up that they don't want to change, or they don't see how they can change it. You know, that my life is so messed up, I don't see how I can change it. Everything has just went, you know, horribly. Now, you know, this subject has been a subject in our biblical counseling program that we find an issue for those who come for counseling. So do you have the courage to change your life, or are you going to continue to live a destructive life? Do you have the courage to change your life, or are you going to continue to live a destructive life? People know they have issues, but they lack the courage to change. And right now, it's a difficult time. It's been a difficult time for many around the world because of COVID. Lives have been lost, jobs lost, fear, distrust, despair, discouragement, and not knowing what the future holds. Probably a few months back, pastor friend's wife called me. Her husband was in the hospital with COVID, and they had told her that he was going to die. And she was, of course, distressed. And she told me that, I don't know what to do. I'm going to lose my husband, and they won't let me in. And I can't be there with him for these last moments. And she said, I knew. They went through our counseling conference. And she said, I knew God immediately told me that you could help me. And I share a few things with her. And I said, we're going to pray for your husband. And we were in Oklahoma having a meeting. And I asked that church to pray for her husband. And he made it through the night. And the next day, he started to get better. And better. And better. And better. They told him his lungs were almost totally destroyed because of the COVID. And God continued to help him get better and get better and get better. And about 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, I don't remember the exact time, she called me and she said, he's up walking around. Still on oxygen, heavy oxygen, but he's up walking around. And she said, thank you. Thank you for praying. Listen, I'm going to trust God to do mighty and great things in my life. Amen. So last night, God laid him on my heart while we went down to Walmart. Kim went inside and God had laid him on my heart, and I called him. And he said, "Oh, Dr. Coomer, thank you for calling me." He says, "I really appreciate it." He said, "I'm doing really well." He said, "I'm preaching on Sunday mornings now." I said, "Praise the Lord." And he said, "I even mowed my yard today." He said, "I got out there on the rider and mowed it." He said, "Isn't God wonderful?" And I said, "Yes, praise God. I'm going to trust God to do great and mighty things." You know, people so many times don't believe that God's going to do anything because of being out of fellowship with God. You know, several years ago, Kim and I met a young lady who was severely struggling in her life. Living in squalor, I shared this with Pastor Gardner and Pastor Miller yesterday, but living in squalor, struggling financially, small children, deadbeat husband who did not hold a job. She'd grown up in a home with an alcoholic father, a mother who left when she was two, a stepmother who told her she was not wanted, she was a mistake, who no one wanted and nobody loved her. And she's been told that by her stepmother for over 40 years. She was beaten every day as a child. Can you imagine how your life would be if you were beaten every day? She was told that she could only brush her teeth once a week. She could only take a bath once a week. Went to a public school. Can you imagine what the ridicule was like for her? And she grew up in domestic violence. She married domestic violence with severe self-esteem issues, and it'd be hard to overcome. Kim had the opportunity to lead her to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Her two youngest children were in fourth and fifth grade, did not know how to read. Our youngest daughter had left to go to Bible college, and so I remember when Kim came sobbing and told me that the children could not read, and she wanted to know if I would pray about her teaching these children how to read. And my wife had a broken heart for these children. And this young mother in this public school system had said, "They'll never learn anything. It's impossible to teach them." And Kim says, "I can teach them to read." And she told me, she says, "If we're in this to help people, here's a person that desperately needs help. And think what these children's life are going to be like if they can't read. By the way, if you can't read, you can't learn." And so she wanted to know if I would pray about her teaching these children how to read. And it took Kim 3 years to teach those children how to read. But she succeeded. Both children had been told that they would never learn. And that all they could do for them, the school said, all they could do for them was teach them social skills, like how to wash their clothes. They'd been deemed unteachable. And I remember that young mother coming to my office at the church and asking Kim and I if we would consider allowing her to enter our biblical counseling program. She stood in my office and she cried profusely and she says, "Please just give me a chance. Please, Pastor, just give me a chance. All I want is a chance. I'll do what you tell me, I promise. Just help me. I want my life to change." She showed great courage that day. Showed great courage. It took a lot of courage for her to come and share her heart need that day. And we knew this was going to be a huge challenge. But we knew that if a person has the courage and a desire to change and grow, God will honor that. She made that effort. And it did not mean she always made good decisions, because she grew up not making good decisions. And I remember asking her many times, why'd you make that decision? And her response was always, I thought this or that. And my response was, did you ask God about that before you made that decision? It was a real work in progress, and it was step by step, and many times small steps. It all started because she really wanted to change and had the courage to ask for help and put herself in a position to be held accountable and submit herself to God and to her counselors. And she learned how to have a real, intimate, personal, and passionate relationship with God. When a person learns how to be a spirit-controlled person, submitting to God rather than the circumstances and being emotion-led, nothing is impossible. Nothing. Now, I tell you today, believe God for great things in your life. Do you know that Luke 1:37 says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible? Amen? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. So let me ask you, what's your greatest fear today? What is your greatest challenge today? Have the courage to step out and face it by the power of God. The devil doesn't want you to change. God's desire is that you'll grow and change. There's no better day than today to step out and start to be real with God and allow Him to really work in your life. I want to tell you, she made dramatic change. Now, it was really hard, because many times she would say, you know, I didn't know how to think, because every time I tried to think, I was beaten. And my mind doesn't think like other people's mind does. And it was hard. And she took some lumps trying to change. Today, she is the number three person in top management for Verizon Wireless and a 500-person call center in Anderson, Indiana. Owns her own home. Just bought a new car. God changed her life. And this, during the pandemic, she was personally responsible for 52 people coming to know Jesus Christ as Savior. God can change people's lives. God can. You got to have the courage to do it. You got to be willing to say, I want my life to change. Others have had to face great challenges. Maybe you think you can't change your life today. And maybe you're sitting here and you're satisfied with your life, but the fact remains is God satisfied with it? No one changes who thinks they do not need to do so or really does not want to. We don't have a magic wand here. I can't slap you in the head and make you super Christian. Yet God's desire for every person is to change, to be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. The last words of the Apostle Peter before he died was to challenge people who were under great persecution to not give up on change. Yes, you can do it by the power of God. And watch what he says here with the final recorded words of his life. Turn back to 2 Peter chapter 3 and look what this great man of God said. You know, by the way, Peter is one of the greatest examples in the Scripture of someone who changed. We see him back in the Gospels being the person who opened his mouth first before he thought, inserted his foot. We saw him be the person who went and denied the Lord three times. But here you see him at the end of his life, and I always think about these two books. I have more notes in 1 Peter in my Bible than in any other book of the Bible. I've recently been changing over and taking my notes from this old Bible to my new one, which I hate to do, by the way. But I have to, it's falling apart. And I just got through taking through the notes of 1 Peter. I'm thinking, man alive, you mean I made that many notes in this book? I'll tell you why, because it's a book about change. And so here he is. Here, now listen, here's who he's talking to. He's talking to Jewish Christians who are under great persecution under Nero, bloody Nero, who was killing Christians every day, burning their homes, taking everything they had. And Peter writes these great words here in 1 and 2 Peter to these Christians who were under such dire persecution. And Pastor Miller, I think if you listen, when you think about that and you think about what he said here, the last words of his life, he said in verse 18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." The last words of the apostle were, "I want you to grow. I want you to learn." Even when they were under such great persecution, yes. I have a pastor friend who two weeks ago, went to Ukraine and he and three other guys put themselves in danger, of course, to witness to the persecuted people in Ukraine. They get on any kind of transit they could and talk to the people about the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people willing to listen because they've seen things there that they've never seen before in their life. These people were seeing harsh persecution. And Peter says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Growing means changing. Growing takes courage. And one of my favorite Bible characters is Joshua. What a man of courage. God told him to follow Moses and to deal with those rebellious Israelites. And he would have to have courage to do that. Think about it. God's promise to him was if he had the courage, he'd be with him. It is the same promise to you and me today. Now go back to Joshua chapter 1 and look with me. Notice it says, now Joshua was telling these people who had been rebellious. And notice what, and verse 5, notice what God says, last phrase. Let's read verse 5. "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." That was what God told Joshua. "I'll be with you all the days of your life." Think about it. Jesus Christ went back to heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit to be with you and me all the days of our life. Praise God. All the days of our life, the Holy Spirit's here. You're saved this morning. All the days of your life. And so I want to submit to the Spirit. And I want to have the courage to make change. And I want to encourage you to have the courage to make change in your life. You never stop growing. You never stop learning. And Peter said, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I want to learn every day. I want to see what God has for me every day. And whenever I open the Bible and ask God another question, show me your message for me today. And when God shows it to me, it's like, whoa, wow, look at that. Man, thank you, Lord, for showing that to me. Make it real to my life. And if God wants you to change something, it may take some courage to do it. And God told Joshua, he said, verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. You want to move forward in your life? Be strong and have good courage. Now, and notice in verse 7 he said, only be thou strong and very courageous. Now, if God was saying this directly to you, hey, I'm going to be with you, just like I was with Moses. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. You be strong and you have good courage. We're going to do great things. But you notice he said here, be strong, be only. He said the only thing, be thou strong and very courageous, that thou may observe, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Notice he says, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Go for it. That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now, you know, notice this book of the law, verse 8, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. How many of y'all know how to worry? Well, if you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. Amen? And so when God shows me something out of his word, and you know, that's for me today. Think about it. The God of the universe took his time to show me something today. Well, that ought to float your boat. Maybe make you Baptist-costal. But it ought to wake you up. It ought to say, wow, thank you, God. And then you start reading that verse over and over and over. So you're meditating on it. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shall thou make thy way very prosperous. Did you see that? Or make thy way prosperous. And then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee, verse 9, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. You know, the people who come to us, Hannah, they're afraid. They're afraid of where their life's going and they're afraid of making change. And they need somebody to prop them up and let them know that God loves them. God's going to help them. And their life can really change, but they're going to have the courage to show it. The courage. Just like God told Joshua, he said, have courage, be strong, be very courageous. I'm going to be with you. I'll help you. So God told him to get into the Bible, meditate upon it, and don't depart from it. Be strong, have courage, and be not afraid, and I'll be with you. So what happened to our young lady that we were talking about? Dramatic, biblical, long-term change for the honor and glory of God. And you know what? Change shows bravery. It shows valor and refers qualities of spirit and conduct. Courage permits one to face extreme dangers and difficulties without fear or lose courage. Bravery implies true courage with daring and intrepid boldness, bravery in a battle. Joshua had it, so did our young lady. And God encouraged them and helped them to be all they could be for him. God can do that for you as well. determined to move forward today in your life. If you need help, you can, you know, talk to Pastor Miller. You can contact us. You know, we have the material to help. God's been very gracious to us to allow us to write the 19 books and booklets to help people all over the world. But we tell them they have to have courage. They have to be willing to change. They have to be willing to trust God. They have to be willing to have a real, intimate, personal, and passionate relationship with God. Now, I want to say this to you. Remember this. Be the vessel God can use today by asking the Holy Spirit to show you if you're living your life not dealing with your sins or your lusts. Are you living in the sin of allowing selfish, carnal thinking to or listening to rule your life and making you react or rationalize your sin? Therefore, you're afraid to have the courage to change. Maybe you're afraid because you don't know how to change. That can be fixed. But listen to me. If I could shout it from the housetop, I would. I'm trying to shout it from this pulpit. Be all you can be for Him today. And have a powerful testimony of living a Spirit-controlled, yielded, godly life that is serving and living with humility and joy and peace. We encourage you today. And we encourage you today. We encourage you today to make Jesus Christ real in your life by humbly yielding to Him at the point of impact and living for Him, not the life of selfish, carnal thinking and speaking. It's an important choice, ladies and gentlemen. Tell God you want to yield yourself to Him today and be a trusting, useful, and rewarded servant. Be the person who wants to change. All of us need to change. Now, if you think that you don't need to change, then you're out of fellowship with God. Do you realize you can be out of fellowship with God by what you think? Tell God you want to yield yourself to Him today and be a trusting, useful, rewarded servant. Be the person who wants to change. Be the person who can help others to change. Don't be the person who talks the talk but does not walk the walk. You know, I pray for a lot of folks, and I pray for some of you. Pray for Pastor Miller and Billy. So we may all humble ourselves before God and focus on having compassion on others. Seek real biblical change. Maybe all have that desire to make real biblical long-term change to honor and glorify God. I'm probably the least likely person to be doing what I'm doing. I grew up in a home that my parents were not nice folks. They cussed, yelled, rant, raved, and screamed. Fought like a dog and a cat. So I stayed out. My dad went to work at 9 o'clock at night, Rand McNally. I stayed out till 9 o'clock at night playing ball, whatever ball's in session. So I didn't have to go home and hear that. You know, through United Parcel Service driver, God reached down, touched my heart, changed my life. And I remember going to Tennessee Temple for my undergrad work. 4 degrees now, but it was a big deal. Because I was doing something I loved in my life as a baseball player. and the giant system getting started. God reached down, saved me. Changed my life that moment. A year later, I was at Tennessee Temple, dumber than a rock. Didn't know nothing about nothing, except that God told me I needed to be there. I remember walking. I remember walking down the alley, which is about 5-6 blocks long, and crossing over post office parking lot to get over to the school. And every morning I would pray and ask God and tell God, I'm so far behind everybody else. I need your help. I want to learn. I want you to teach me. Please teach me. And he did. And he did. He answered my prayer. It took real courage to go to Tennessee Temple. It took real courage to put yourself in a position where many of the people had grew up in a Christian home, or they were in Christian school, or they'd been homeschooled, and I knew nothing. And yet God changed me. God helped me. Because I had the courage to step out. The courage to want to learn. Now you're here today. And I'll say it again, and we're talking about things that derail your life. One of the things that derails your life is having the lack of courage. The courage to move forward. And I want to encourage you today that there's nobody in this room that God cannot change if you'll allow him to. And I want to encourage you with this as the last thing here in the Sunday School Hour. Let God do great and mighty things in your life. Let him do it. And see what he'll do. I'm the least likely person to be doing what I'm doing. I remember in a room in Great Falls, Montana, with three other guys who were from other parts of the country, and we all played baseball in the San Francisco Giants system. And one of the guys from Albany, Georgia said, I want to ask you guys a question. He said, y'all believe in God? And I'm like, I don't care. One guy from West Covina, California says, I'm an agnostic. Meaning that he wasn't sure God existed or not. The other guy from Portland, Oregon says, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. And I said, I'm an atheist. I didn't know what it meant. But I knew what it meant was is that when you said it, religious people left you alone. But God sent somebody into my path to take 7 months of his lunch hour every day, a United Parcel Service driver, to share Christ with me. Praise God. He had the courage to stand up to me when I said, get out of my face. And by the way, I looked a lot better to do something about that back then. You get out of my face and you leave me alone. You can talk about anything else you want to talk about, but God. And he didn't quit. He had courage. And I thank God that he did. He left his dinner table at different times and prayed and asked God to save my soul. And he came in every day smiling at me, kind to me, even though I wasn't always kind to him. And finally, he gave me a book on Bible prophecy. I read it, and it God used it to touch my heart. If this stuff is really real, then I need to know about it. And God saved me and changed me. And he's continuing to change me to this day. And he'll change you. Let him do it. Let God do it. And you'll look back and say, thank you, Lord. And you could sing that song, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so great and free. If you're not saved here today, don't die and go to hell. Let God work in your life. And if you're a Christian here today, be in fellowship with God. Let God work in your life. Let him do great and mighty things. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to share these truths of courage in this time in Sunday school. God, make it real to our hearts. Encourage us and help us. Thank you for the opportunity to come here and say some few words, Lord, and try to be an encouragement. But I ask you to work in hearts here, Lord. I ask you to lift people up. I ask you to help them to see that they can change and that they can see you do great things in their life. Please, Lord, help us to see that this week. In Jesus' name, amen.